So I don't know about you guys, but I absolutely love role-playing game mechanics. My wife thinks I'm crazy that I spend so much time reading tens of thousands of pages of rules of how to play different games, but I'm just fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by our attempt as human beings to take the world and model it in so many different ways, like in video games and in tabletop role-playing, as we try to figure out how the various physics and attempts of human beings or other types of beings to do various things are modeled with dice based on probability and stuff like that. So I find that stuff super fascinating, and I want to talk about that today. But first of all, welcome back to the Trinity Continuum Airwaves podcast. My name is Corey Reynolds. I'm your host. And today we're talking all about mechanics. First of all, I want to give my rundown of my street cred, I guess if you might call it, or my geek cred, my nerd cred, of the different games that I have played throughout my life. I was really introduced to role-playing back when I was in second grade. The neighbor upstairs gave us a bunch of stuff from their 18-year-old son's room. He was moving out, and here I was, 7 years old. I get dumped a bunch of this stuff, and a lot of it is D&D modules and things like that. But with no rule book on how to play it, the mom didn't know what she had. She was just handing me a bunch of stuff. And so I remember sitting down with one of those trifold D&D modules that showed the map of the castle and some descriptions of what's in various rooms, and actually having my mom sit at the kitchen table with me, and I would just kind of talk her through what was in each room and ask her what she wanted to do. I'd never even seen anything about role playing, but I took this module and kind of was like, hey, I'll act like I know what's in the rooms and you go through them and act what you're doing. And we didn't have dice or anything like that, but that was kind of my first introduction to it. And then when I was in 7th or 8th grade, I went with a friend to a gaming store for the first time and picked up a copy of West End Games' Star Wars role-playing game 2nd edition. So that was actually my first role-playing game purchase. Played a lot of that with friends, but from there branched out, going back to gaming stores over and over again to find different Star Wars books. I ended up running across FASA's Earth Dawn 1st edition when it was first launched, and I was immediately in love with the concept of Earth Dawn, which would later on fuel my passion for Exalted, which I really see in some ways as a spiritual successor to a game like Earth Dawn. Anyway, I was into Earth Dawn, and because of FASA and Earth Dawn, I branched out into Shadowrun, played a lot of that with friends, also Mech Warrior, even some of their tabletop stuff like Crimson Skies and whatnot. My friend Jim, who's actually a co-host of the Deliberative podcast, he ran us and a couple other friends through some games of Dark Conspiracy when we were in, you know, beginning high school and that kind of thing. I also played, of course, along the way, some D&D 2nd edition. Then when 3rd edition came out, bought every single book for D&D 3.0 and 3.5. Around that same time, the Star Wars D20 game came out, got that, enjoyed that, played some of that with friends. The Star Trek game that was out about that same time, I don't even remember who published that at the time. And then I got into some of the old World of Darkness stuff, the Vampire the Masquerade. And again, Jim tried to run a game of that for us. It didn't really pan out too well, but that game, some Werewolf, Wild West, and all those sorts of things that we were doing in the old World of Darkness. And then I bought, but never played, as I've stated before, the Trinity 1st edition book in the spiral bound, whatever that thing was. It was awesome. I read it. I was in love with it. Couldn't get anybody to play. So I never actually played that one, which is strange. But then moving on from there into the New World of Darkness and then Exalted 2nd edition. I had read the 1st edition book right when it first came out. Again, couldn't get anybody to play it with me, so I never played it. But when the New World of Darkness came out, me and some friends, we were very spread out at the time. I was actually in seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and my friends were all over the country. And so we were really pioneering at the time a lot of this distance role playing. We were sharing a Microsoft Paint application through MSN Messenger and all that stuff before there were virtual tabletops and whatnot. But we played a lot of New World of Darkness that way, especially Hunter the Vigil. That was probably our favorite, and just the baseline World of Darkness. effects, which I thought was pretty cool. Actually, it seemed like that was cooler than the different splats that you could add onto it and what. But then the Exalted Second Edition really caught my fancy. I was able to sell it to my friends at that time, and we actually created at that time a play by post forum to play Exalted Second Edition, and we have had it ever since, like 15 years or more now. And although it's gone through a couple of iterations since then. But and then from there, also played Scion. That was another one that I read it, didn't play it. But then got really heavily into Pathfinder, Starfinder, and then along came Exalted 3rd Edition, and we started the Deliberative Podcast. Then I got into Pathfinder 2nd Edition about the time that we quit doing the Deliberative. And finally now getting into Trinity Continuum, which I have played, and the story path system in general. And I will even be playing, Lord willing, my first game of They Came From Beneath the Sea tomorrow morning. So that's kind of my journey there. I haven't done a lot of in the weird weeds of the tabletop role playing, like the Amber game or some of these others, you know, which don't use dice, or some of the Fantasy Flight stuff, which uses a lot of cards and whatnot. Like, I don't even know what's going on. The Fate system, I haven't done any of that stuff. I've never seen it. I've never read it. But my experience kind of runs right down the mainstream of the D&D, Pathfinder, and then White Wolf, Onyx Path stuff. So that's kind of where I come from, okay? So that's my mechanical pedigree, so to speak. But one of the things that I think is just so fascinating about game mechanics, and one of the reasons why I just really, I don't know, it really, really gets me lit up thinking about this, is I love the simulation. And I used to be much more a fan of the kind of simulation that would really play well in something like a video game. And Pathfinder, D&D 3rd Edition, 3.5 Edition, Starfinder, those kinds of games do a really good job of modeling what you would want, say, from a video game, where you're facing a lot of different kinds of enemies. They have a certain number of hit points, and you're just blasting through enemy after enemy, sort of Diablo style, or even, you know, closer to the source material, something like Baldur's Gate. You know, you're facing just so many enemies over a course of time. The challenge is really in the constant fighting, and so games like Pathfinder and Starfinder and D&D, those end up kind of being like miniatures board games. You know, I mean, that's really what most of the action is about. Is like, okay, we cleaned out this room, let's go to the next room here. It's like a little bit of a scenario, it's a challenge, we kill everything and we move on. And then of course games like Gloomhaven, Frosthaven, Jaws of the Lion, those kinds of things, they come along and just strip out the role-playing entirely and just make the game one series of dungeon attacks after the next. You open up the book, look, see what the map's going to look like, assemble it, put the enemies in there, put your characters in there, and just do the fight, and then you move on, and the person running the game just kind of tells the rest of it. Well, that's definitely one way to play, but I've come in my older age, I guess, to appreciate a lot more this idea of a cinematic way of doing role-playing game combat, so that it's much more evocative of a narrative rather than a video game. And so it's much more like a movie. In the movie, the good guys shoot a bad guy who doesn't really mean much, and he just immediately dies. And then they shoot another bad guy, and he dies. And then there's the big bad guy who is like the real challenge for the main characters, and when they shoot at him, he dodges behind a wall, and then they shoot at him again, and they hit him in the leg, but then he shoots back and does a little damage, and they shoot, and it takes a little while to take him down. And you know what's interesting? Being a fan of Exalted, as well as other White Wolf Onyx Path games, I see them iterating from game to game and version to version, slowly, you know, kind of coming to the realization that we want some of these bad guys to die immediately, and we want some of these bad guys not to die immediately. And when you go back to, like, Exalted Second Edition, I remember we were playing a game. I was playing the Dawncast Solar, and I was really... I was He-Man, essentially. My character's name was Gauss. And we finally face, at the end of the story, you know, the big bad guy who was like the main villain. I think he was even an Abyssal. So he was supposed to be like on the power level with us and whatnot. He was supposed to be this big challenge. And yet my character, just, you know, knowing that it was the big bad guy, I put all of my power into a single punch. and killed him in one hit. Knocked him, like, you know, 30 yards into a barn, destroyed the entire barn. He died immediately, took so much damage that he just died. And so what should have been this exciting, epic combat was just handled in one hit. And then when Exalted Third Edition came out, there was this new system that had been developed, which was controversial, but also kind of exciting and new at the time, dealing with withering attacks and decisive attacks, where you have to wither someone to get your initiative up. And then you get your initiative up to a high enough level, you can perform a decisive attack where you use your built-up initiative as the damage in order to put a bunch of damage on somebody. And that system was created to essentially stop what had happened in our Exalted Second Edition game. You know, so Second Edition tried to correct this feature by giving people perfect defenses, you know, against the big attacks. If somebody's laying on a big attack, you use a charm that's a perfect defense, and it just perfectly stops the attack. And then, you know, it's back and forth between perfect defense, or whatever, so that the fight could go on. And then you just, one person eventually ran out of juice, and boom, you're dead. But so, like, rocket tag with invulnerable shields, you know. And that was not satisfying to a lot of players. And so, you know, you either kill them in one hit or you go back and forth with these perfect defenses. And so this new system of withering attacks and decisive attacks in Exalted Third Edition was just such a neat idea at the time, because it modeled a little bit of this back and forth across the field of battle that finally ended in somebody making these, like, big decisive attacks, which maybe you wouldn't even kill him in one decisive attack, but at least you might hurt him a little bit, and then he starts winding down, and then you build up some more, and then you go for another decisive, and then there, you know, it gets killed. So it's a little bit more cinematic, a little bit more exciting. It lasts longer than a single round. However, gamers being what they are, you know, I'm one of those power gamers myself, you find a way very quickly to figure out how you can kill even, like, fairly beefy opponents in just one round. And so that's what you do. You figure out, okay, how do I start out, you know, building up a lot of initiative on my join battle roll right at the very beginning of the combat, and then I go first, I do a withering attack, I gain a whole bunch of initiative against you, then you attack me, I do a counterattack and use all my initiative and kill you flat dead in the first round. And so, like, those are the kinds of things that now we're doing with this Exalted system that was created to make the combats last a little longer. But this is where the story path comes in. Story path comes in here and just fixes this problem. The main problem being that you never want your main bad guy to just go down in one hit, but at the same time, you want your characters to feel powerful, especially if it is a power game, a power fantasy game like Exalted. You want your characters to feel like they can just destroy people every now and then, but when you face some enemies, they need to have a lot more fight into them. It needs to just last a little longer. And so Exalted had started to make a distinction between minor threats, or extras, they might call them, in a combat, and the more serious enemies that you wanted to take a little bit of time to fight. And the way that they handled that was, if you were just fighting against an extra, you would just maybe make a single roll. If you got any number of successes, the extra was just dead. Or some combatants, you might treat them as if they were a zero size battle group. That makes sense if you're an Exalted fan. Treat them as zero size battle group. It essentially changes the combat system to be more like it was in Exalted Second Edition, so you can just power up and kill them in one hit if you really want to. And then they saved the big combat system of the withering and decisive attacks for the main bad guys, or the ones you wanted to take a little bit longer. But what Story Path did, it actually inherited some of those ideas. It took the idea of the extra from Exalted Third Edition, and it essentially said, okay, all of the henchmen and the minions or whatever, these guys, they have, like, a defense of one, and if you can hit them with one success, shooting them with a gun or a bow and arrow, or even just making some successful attacks with hand-to-hand combat or whatever, you can do one level of injury to them and they are immediately taken out. And so when you have the big bad guy with his four henchmen, the other players can have a lot of fun just, like, doing multiple attacks to take out a couple of guys at a time, thinning the ranks, and then you're down to just the main bad guy, or maybe you start shooting at the main bad guy early. But they've given the main bad guy more than one health level, and they essentially cap the amount of health damage you can do to two per shot, no matter what it is you're shooting. They're capping the damage levels at two per shot. So you get one injury level if you do, you know, just hit the defense of the person you're shooting at, and then you have to spend an additional four successes in order to raise that to two injury conditions with a critical injury. And so if the main bad guy has five health levels before he's taken out, then even if your characters get some amazing shots with some powerful weaponry, he's going to keep ticking. Now, you might say, yeah, but sometimes I want to put a rocket like right into somebody's face and just blow their head off with one shot and have it be done. However, and while I see that, you know, from a power gaming perspective of, oh, I love doing this, just like, boom, I smoked him. I mean, that one hit that I did to the main bad guy at the end of our Exalted Second Edition story, it felt good. You know, you talk about it for years after. Yeah, I one shot the main bad guy. But from a cinematic standpoint, you want the fight to take longer and be more exciting and have more characters be able to participate in the fight. And so by making it where no one can do essentially more than two damage to a person, you can set the length of the combat based on how many health boxes you give the main bad guy. And so the system is just phenomenal at being very quick at handling a big action scene with a lot of characters. People are going down really fast. The player characters are not going down very fast, but they can be hurt. And then the main bad guy, he lingers on until finally he gets that great death scene. And so it's so good because you're not making a video game here. You're making a story game, a narrative game. You don't have to have it perfectly represent what you would do on a video game with hit points and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't need to be a strategy miniatures game. It's something that you want to see how fun it is to play out a cinematic movie, action movie style combat. And they have perfectly modeled that with this system. I couldn't be more happy with how they've done it. And it's such a contrast to the original, I guess, the original New World of Darkness. Well, you know what I mean. The first time they came out with the New World of Darkness with the World of Darkness book that was the core. And then you had Vampire the Requiem, Werewolf the Forsaken, Mage the Awakening, all that stuff that added on to it. The way that they handled fights was trying to do a one-roll system. But if it was a high-powered weapon, it actually, because you're only rolling once, high power needed to add dice to the roll. And so, you know, it was all by adding dice to the roll, you're also increasing your accuracy, even though really what you're trying to model by adding those dice is the power of the weapon. So, you know, there was no such thing as a hard-to-shoot rocket launcher because the rocket launcher had to have enough dice that it was adding to the roll that you're going to hit them with it, you know. Anyway, and because everybody had seven boxes of health and because you get so few successes when you roll with the New World of Darkness system, which was an 8, 9, and 10 system, which I know Trinity's the same way, but when, you know, you get so few successes, you would shoot somebody with a high power sniper rifle aiming at them right in the head and maybe get one success. And by the rules of the game, you did one lethal damage to that person and they've got seven health boxes, you know. And that was the case for regular old minions. And that was the case for big bad guys, you know? And so it was, it totally did not model the cinematic action properly. Story Path comes in and just does such a fun job. You still get to roll dice. You still get to feel powerful. But the way they add successes after the initial roll with enhancement points is so genius that I hope you're appreciating just how genius it is. Such a fun system. But anyway, I just wanted to take a little time today to geek out over that aspect of the mechanics, which I find so exciting. They do change it up quite a bit for the They Came From games. There are more injury conditions. There's actually more health boxes and that kind of thing. But at the same time, they're adding more damage when you do damage with weapons. We'll have to see how that works out tomorrow morning. I'll be playing on that. But I want you guys to remember, you can call into the show at the number 678-369-3214. And in case you don't know what that number is, it is not my cell phone number. It's just an internet answering machine. It's a Google Voice number. You call it, there's a message that says, hey, thanks for calling the Trinity Continuum Airwaves podcast. Leave your awesome message and we'll put you on the show. And that's all it says. So, and then it goes beep, and then you just record a thing, and then I get an email that, you know, gives me your message. So don't be afraid to call the number. You're not going to get me at home eating dinner or anything like that. You can call it anytime, day or night, and It'll leave me a, it'll send me an email with your message. So please do that. Want to hear from you. Want to hear how you're enjoying the game. Want to hear your comments. Want to hear your questions. And you can also, if you don't want to use the call-in number, you can still send us an email. The email address is trinitycontinuumairwaves@gmail.com. I want to hear from you guys. I want to start this conversation and get it going where, you know, maybe one caller one day responds to something that another caller said the next day. So let's get into the conversation there. I hope that you feel empowered to call in here because I want to talk to you and I want to hear you on the show and I want you to hear you on the show. Okay, so call in 678-369-3214 or use the email address trinitycontinuumairwaves@gmail.com. So that's going to about wrap it up for this show, and I can't wait to see you on the next one.